Blog Talk Radio.
Monsters Radio. This is the Sunday show. I'm Gwen Berry, and I am here today with our guest, the progressive professor, Ron Feinman, and our co-hosts, Jeff Jodell and Wayne Johnson. Before we go on with the show, I would just like to say that I'm very happy and pleased to be coming to you from St. Lucie County, Florida. Ron is in Palm Beach County, Florida. And, of course, Jack and Wayne are way up north in Minnesota and Ohio, but we've just gone through, as everyone knows, Irma, which, in my experience, which is the majority of my life in Florida and going through many hurricanes, I have never in my life seen a storm like Irma. She was the biggest. She was what I would call a monster storm. She didn't feel like a nasty lady, like Andrew was a nasty bastard, but she was making a point. She sure as hell did it. The Keys are decimated. Duval Street's still up, but the Keys are decimated. Our island brothers and sisters are in a lot of trouble.
Oh, my.
If you can afford to, a dollar counts. And any place but Red Cross, please.
Find good point.
Online, too. There's a lot of crowd funding going on online. Please go and give what you can. And please, the Floridian, Georgian, Gulf Coast neighbors, when we go through this, there's something we have learned down here in Florida from this experience, other than, you know, tornado alerts, which you never encountered before. You know, we have a lot of retirees down here, a lot of retirement communities. And in our neighborhoods, we have a lot of elders. And when storms like this happen in the north, when they have terrific blizzards and powers out, whenever there's any kind of elemental force that devastates communities, please remember the first place that we need to be checking is the retirement homes and our elders in our neighborhoods, because that's kind of overlooked. Not. I don't think anybody did it on purpose. I think it just wasn't as far up on the list as it needed to be. And so ongoing, and we're at the peak of what I have grown up to know is the mean season. That's the hurricane season down here. And if you will just please remember, and I know our guest today has a topic because it is, I guess, Constitution Day. And we have Irma and Harvey. Please don't forget to give to, there's a lot of crowdfunding up for individual communities and institutions and places that really need our help in Texas, too. We can't forget our Texans. But what happened here, guys? I mean, did the gods just decide to take the major southeast portion of the United States and hand it up as the sacrifice to the stupidity of our voting population or something? I mean, really?
Like, Glenn, I would say that there is definitely an ignorance factor. People said that they don't believe in climate change. Well, you either believe or not believe in religion. You either recognize or deny science facts. So what
that's
I hear
exactly,
is they don't believe
must
the
say,
page. They
accept
the
Bible
side.
As literal fact, but they won't accept what 97-98% of scientists say because 2% don't agree. But the Bible is not literal, although people take it as. It's a story written by, you know, by hundreds of people over hundreds of years, and it's what's believed, but it's not really factual in the same way that science is factual.
No, it's
very good. That's exactly what I'm saying.
It's the Nicene Council that put it together. But here's the thing. You guys know who I am and what I do. When that storm, Irma, was approaching and about to hit the Keys, I sort of did a meditation and tried to go up. And that's what I do. And I have to tell you, the message I got was see, hear, understand. It's as if Irma was sent to tell the naysayers, no, it ain't untrue. This is climate change, and I'm just token representative. So it was the
Glenn,
most.
It was verbatim to all the climate projections for
yes,
now and in the future. Next one's going to be a little bit worse. We have constantly, year after year here for the last 30 years, gotten a little bit warmer each and every year. We are breaking records every year now from here on out. Man-made climate change is a fact.
We have got Ave Maria on the tail of Irma, actually Jose, but on the tail of Irma coming up the straight up the pike, the same route as Irma took. And all I can think right now is, because I know plenty of Floridians were thinking, please don't let it do more damage to the Gulf, to Texas. Don't let them, but don't decimate us either. And the truth is, if Irma would have come up the East Coast right on top of us, there would have been less damage, and we would have had even less damage here. The Keys wouldn't have been so decimated because I've watched storms all my life. And when you're getting the leeward side of those winds, when it hit, did you know that it emptied Tampa Bay? Did you know that?
Wow.
Tampa Bay was empty. Didn't you see the pictures? Tampa Bay got empty by the force of Irma coming in. That's
the power of nature. Unbelievable.
That's right. We're part of nature. Never forget, human beings are part of nature. We make a difference.
We cause a lot of problems.
Well, we're also responsible for some of the positive aspects of it.
That's
too.
True.
It's just incredible to me that, I mean, I know Minnesota gets some pretty hellacious snow, and the winters can be just brutal up there. But Jack, do you get storms that can be this kind of massive?
No, very, very rarely. The worst blizzard of all time didn't even come close to what the devastation of Irma wrought on you folks. You know, and they're surfing the small islands to your east, you know, the Virgin Islands, U.S. Virgin Islands and stuff, they're getting clobbered. It's just terrible, you know.
Barbuda is level. It's not one of, but these are our island brothers and sisters. And, I mean, Barbuda, well, you know, it's just, if you take a look at the pictures of what, and if you've ever been there and you know what St. Martin's or St. Croix was like. I mean, this is, and another thing that we shouldn't forget either, the most often job that our U.S. military, all branches, have that people forget is what they're doing right now, rescuing and bringing supplies in and making sure the medical teams get there.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they're doing right now. You know,
it wasn't always bombs and guns. It's a lot of rescue work.
Yeah, they do a lot more of that than they do war. And
thank
people
goodness.
But,
well, I'd say they do a lot more of that than war, but with Donald Trump, it may be changed to be more war.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, Ron, did you see the tweet that the president, I got it, oh, it sticks in my throat.
The Hillary Clinton golf ball tweet, right?
Right. I am so effing
mad.
Yes,
in fact, I wrote on it on the Progressive Professor about an hour ago. This is beyond the pale. I mean, everything he has tweeted, and the more he does, he's creating more disarray in the world scene, and he's causing more concern that he's really unhinged, that he's really dangerous. And I wrote and I said, when is Donald Trump's vice president, Mike Pence, and his children, Donald Trump's children, going to come to the realization that despite their, I guess in the case of Pence, respect for his boss and the love of Trump's children for him, that this is a serious matter. It's not just a personal thing about how you feel about someone. It's the future national security of the nation that is at stake. And I really think it's time to move on indeed invoking the 25th Amendment, Section 4, in consultation with Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House. But I don't get any sense they're doing it. But, I mean, if Barack Obama had acted this way, could you imagine the reaction?
Well, see, Trump's white and not black. That's the big difference.
Well,
I guess it is. But this is it's beyond the pale what's going on now.
Oh, I know.
Along with everything else.
Incredible.
Every day is something new. Certainly good for journalists as far as news stories, but it really he's more and more unhinged and out of control. He's involved in a meltdown, and I think he might very well be bipolar. I'm starting to think he's bipolar, and he may also have dementia, but there's something not quite right with him.
Well,
right.
Here's the other part about that one, Ron, too. It's not that it's white and he's not black. It's that he's a white supremacist, and we all know.
Exactly.
Exactly. And the other thing about this, too, this shows, well, what kind of coward he is, but especially from the back side. I remember when that happened to her as a Secretary of State. She tripped getting on the plane. I think it was in Belgium. But here's the thing. He's afraid. Did anybody see Rachel Maddow's interview with Hillary Clinton the other night? If you
go ahead and elaborate. Yeah. Tell your listening audience.
If you have it, you really need to watch it because that's leadership. And she put down stroke and more everything that should be being done right now with the crises we're facing. And he's
right.
Afraid of that because people are listening. The public are responding to her on that one because the more people watch Maddow than they do these little clips about her book and stuff. That 1 hour of Rachel Maddow was very revealing. That's who the president would have been. And it
should have been.
Well, yeah.
Obviously,
there you go.
Well, yeah, obviously. Stuck with this old, crazy bastard. That's exactly what he is, and he's worthless. He's absolutely worthless. He's spinning in circles. He has no clue on how to run anything. It's proven he can't even run a business. He's had 4 bankruptcies. So, you know, the guy, he can't run his way out of a burning theater. The guy's terrible.
And this week he's going to be at the United Nations, and I can imagine what he's going to end up saying that's going to antagonize many of the nations at the UN. It's going
to be another week
that's worse than ever before.
Yeah, he started calling Kim Jong-un Rocket Man.
Yes, unbelievable.
Gentlemen, can you imagine? Now, Ron and I just went through this. We were sitting cloistered with wind pounding against our shutters. And
right.
A storm going over us. And at about, I think it was about 11 p.m., all of a sudden, our phones started going off. I've never had that happen, Ron.
Wow.
The phones started going off with the emergency alert before TVs or anything. And
I had a couple of those too, yeah.
And I was like, what the heck? And I looked, and it was tornado warning. And most of them were up here in my neighborhood.
Wow.
A lot of water spouts, they landed. But a bunch of them were tornadoes. We were extremely lucky that nothing serious happened. But
yep.
I never, and if you're listening, and Ron can tell you, when you're listening to hurricane gust wind hit constantly, to have to then listen on top of that for that telltale locomotive style wind that is this
morning.
Oh,
yeah.
You're effed. That's it. You're like,
yeah.
I've never gone through that before, and I got to tell you, I was sort of scared.
Absolutely horrifying.
I had a drink.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I would have had a lot of drinks. Good God. You know, and that you were asking about blizzards, Gwen. There are fierce winds in blizzards, and they're cold, and
yeah.
they give you a headache when they hit your forehead. But I'll tell you what, I would gladly stumble through a hurricane or a blizzard wind as opposed to a hurricane wind any day of the week. First of all, hurricane winds can knock you over and kill you immediately. But blizzard winds, they're different. They're a different animal. They're both fierce, but hurricane winds are a lot fiercer.
But you have to understand, Congressman King of Iowa would claim, oh, since you have blizzards, there's no global warming.
Yeah, well, that King guy, he's the real king, all right.
Do you remember the blizzard? Probably Ron does. I grew up in Florida, but from the time I was 13 on, I did all of my school year back and forth from upstate New York to Florida. Mm-hmm. And I can remember 1978. A blizzard that hit the Northeast.
Yep.
I was there. In fact, I was stuck on Route 17 trying to get to an airport in Ithaca to get the hell out of town in that one. It blew my little Triumph off the road. I was.
Wow.
Yeah, but some nice guys in a big old truck came along and pulled me back on and followed me into Ithaca. It was cool. But, I mean, that storm was pretty awful. If I were to put that up against, and the sinus pressure was bad too, but if I were to put that up against a hurricane like Irma, I'd say there's no question that
Irma,
hands down. Yeah. Completely.
Yeah. We had a tremendous blizzard in 1991. It snowed really strong all one day and most of the next. 14 inches the first day and 13 the following day.
Oh,
we were
God.
Inundated with snow, but it was nothing. Nothing is devastating or as damaging as the winds in the hurricane that you went through, Gwen.
Well, you know, I have to ask, especially you, Ron, you're used to seeing both ends of weather in the United States. You probably grew up with winters in the north.
So 1989, I moved to Florida. So, indeed, I went through a lot of bad weather, yes.
You know, down here when a hurricane hits, now Irma didn't do it that badly to me this time, although I will admit I took a Xanax to go to sleep after that large gulp of scotch, but I'm just horrible, aren't I, for an herbalist? But here's the thing, it worked, but I felt when Andrew came through was horrifying winds, and it was a small, compact, nasty little storm. But that went through Miami. Now, I was in Pompano Beach, which you know how far away that is. That's like a, what, 45
miles? 30 miles.
Yeah,
about 30 miles north, yeah.
30 miles north. I had to lay on the ground from the pressure of that storm. My head was going so bad from it. I didn't experience that with Irma. I was afraid I might because it was very terrible. That headache I got from Andrew. Ron, do you know why the barometrics can be so horrifying with such, how does that happen? Irma was massive and strong, stronger than Andrew.
Yeah, I think the barometric pressure was lower than any hurricane, I think, ever. And I want to remind you, Wilma, in 2005, we actually lost power for about 5.5-6 days, this time only for a little less than a day. So in some ways, this storm, as far as the reaction of FPL, was better. But the storms are getting more vicious, yes. And the tornadoes in the Midwest and the Great Plains are worse than ever as well.
That's true.
If you ever see those storms that come in the Great Plains, they're just worse than ever. It's definitely global warming and climate change going on, but yet we have so many people who refuse to accept it because the oil industry doesn't want to hear about it, the coal industry doesn't want to hear about it, and you know, and that's the problem. Everything is always the issue of profit over what's safety and what's really the future of the country.
You nailed it, Ron. Very true.
Let me interject here. They have a memo from Exxon back in the early 1980s where Exxon's science department themselves admitted that they were making more man-made CO2 into the atmosphere. That was, and their concern was that it was going to be changing the climate in the future. They have that memo. They have the evidence in Exxon's own emails. But they went ahead and hired the same advertising firms that the tobacco industry hired that said that cigarettes do not cause cancer. It's not
a remember that Rex Tillerson was the head of Exxon for like 25 years, so he knew it too.
Yeah, he's a crook.
Yes, exactly. Right. Exactly.
He's
right.
A crook.
I must say that I think he's pretty close to the worst Secretary of State, at least in my lifetime. And I'm looking at around, and of course I'm not saying I'm in favor of her, but I have to say, by comparison with all the Trump people, so many of them so bad, that Nikki Haley actually comes across much better than almost anyone that works for Trump. And I have a feeling there's already rumors that she will be the next Secretary of State, because supposedly Tillerson's not going to stay very long. And I'm not saying I'm 100% happy with her, but I think Nikki Haley is more substantial than almost anybody around Trump that I can see.
Well, you know, the problem for working with Trump is that you don't last very long. You either get drummed out or embarrassed out of office, or you're just so frustrated you have to resign. That's the pathetic thing about Trump. That guy, he's a malignancy on the presidency. He's just terrible.
The incompetence of our government at this point has reduced us to no allies. We have no allies. We have friends out there waiting for decency to step back into the room. And
look at British Prime Minister May, how upset she is with Trump about this incident, this terrorist incident, where he gets involved in speaking up without any knowledge. And then he goes and antagonizes South Korea about a trade agreement when we might have a war there. I mean, his timing and his priorities are absolutely insane.
So, Ron, I want to ask you the question. I had a discussion this morning with someone, and I said, well, you know, it's about a much larger chessboard than, you know, the issues that are compounding here in the United States, what with the vitriol, the violence, the bullying, and the white supremacy, and all of this race war that's going on, and all of that, and the misogyny. But as far as it goes, and I listened to Hillary while she was speaking, and she was quite right. We have to maneuver China into the position of squashing this. And who is the world's largest exporter of goods? Do you know who it is?
China.
China. That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. China has, it's not only that, Gwen, but China has right now the world's largest economy. They are the 500-pound gorilla in the business markets today.
It's because they are the largest exporter. Now, if all of our past allies get back together with us and sanction China along with this, which is what I think Clinton was saying she would, you know, in the unspoken words, what she would do is maneuver China into the position to where they had to put him in check, out of office, whatever it took, in order not to have their economy damaged by sanctions by everyone, because they are, in fact, who they are, sitting on the border with this crazy man, and they have supplied him. So it's that's the kind of chessboard that, and I'm no diplomat, and I'm no big brain as far as world economy goes. I'm just a cursory student of my situation in the world surrounding me, and I'm smarter than every son of a bitch that's sitting in the West Wing right now.
Well, Gwen, let me interject this. During the Bush and Cheney years, remember they had the most massive tax cuts ever in history per capita. I don't care what you're doing. There have never been as much less taxes collected by the U.S. government under the Bush Cheney years after their tax cut. So they started two wars. Where did they get the money for those two wars? They were borrowing it from China.
Yep.
Right now, at that time, and I think it's still true today, right now China is holding on to so many U.S. dollars just to keep the U.S. solvent because we were a major trading partner with them. But should we piss them off, they could bring us down to our knees in seconds by releasing all those U.S. dollars on the world market, basically making the paper money worthless than the toilet paper that you just used and flushed down the toilet.
And
that's the truth. We have no bargaining power against China. They own us.
I disagree with that because I wonder what the world would do without the U.S. Commerce going on and everything that we do supply the world with. It's a quid pro quo world, just as it is a quid pro quo Republic of America. You know, that's how Washington has always worked. You give, I get, I give, you get. That's how it's worked with this two-party system we have in place. And basically,
I think
I think that basically we have, and Ron probably has a greater concept of what really might work here, but I think that what Mrs. Clinton was saying on the Rachel Maddow show about as far as North Korea and where we stand, I think she was right on the money.
There's no question in my mind that Hillary Clinton, while she's not a perfect person, would have been a great president in many ways. I always have said since World War II, the only presidents who came with better qualifications, whether we like them or not, are Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, and George H.W. Bush. The others were all far less qualified, including her own husband, than she was when she ran last year.
I'll give you that. I will also include Barack Obama for this reason. Barack Obama pulled us out of the worst slide into really what was a minor depression financially.
I was going to say, Bernanke,
that's
he
after,
hired
but
Bernanke.
But he didn't
Bernanke
come in with better quality.
The Great Depression.
It was after, yeah. But he also resolved it better than Franklin Roosevelt, who couldn't get us out of the Great Depression without coming to World War II. We didn't go into a major war, and we did get out of the Great Recession. So that's a great accomplishment of Barack Obama. But when he came in, he didn't have the background that Hillary Clinton had or H.W. Bush or Nixon or LBJ. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with you, Ron. I do agree with you. But he did accomplish it. But what happened there was he accomplished it by compromising his values and the reason he wanted the office to begin with. And that's when everybody got together and started saying, you know, he was a sellout to Wall Street. Well, you know what? Here's the facts, fellas. Wall Street runs the commerce of much of the whole planet.
You're correct. Yes.
And so it's quid pro quo, and that's what I mean by quid pro quo. Hey, listen, I grew up in a family of politicians. I listened on that. I was the bartender, for crying out loud. These guys made deals with one another. Anybody that thinks the EPA got put together because Nixon was a good guy is a goddamn fool.
But he did sign it. He could have also vetoed it. That's the point I always have made. If he had vetoed it, they could not have overridden his veto. So we got to give him credit for going along and signing it. And the same with the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
They also had him. They had him by the short because of Watergate.
Do you know that Frank Wharton, Jackson, Kennedy, and two others walked into Nixon's office? And I knew what the term rat fucking was long before All the President's Men was published. Because that was their quid pro quo. Either you pony up and you sign this into effect or else. The or else actually happened because he had such incompetence around him. And that's the truth, isn't it?
Certainly he was pressured. There's no question about that.
You think Nixon would have signed that thing? Although you have to give Nixon his due. he was one of the best statesmen that ever sat in there. He really was. He knew how
he really was.
He knew how to go out amongst people from other countries, sit down, listen, and shove the pieces on the board around. He did not.
Well, he was a very shrewd judge of the political climate, and he knew what was going to work and what wouldn't work. And that's one of the reasons that I think he went along with the EPA and OSHA and all those other things.
Oh, God, he went along
with you. Yes.
If you guys don't get that, I don't understand why, but he was blackmailed into it. But the other part about that is, too, when Nixon knew the jig was up and he was drinking profusely for the last, 6 weeks he was in office?
Oh, he was out of it. He didn't know what was going on.
They found him in the halls of the White House on his knees praying the portrait. I mean,
yeah, right.
The portrait of John F. Kennedy saying, "Why are you so much loved and I'm not?"
No.
That's the story. That's pathetic, what Henry Kissinger said.
Yep.
That really goes to show you that, and what is it anyways, that, you know, for the most part, and I'm going to get a lot of crap probably thrown at me here, but I mean, the last Republican in office that really had any kind of, in my mind, any kind of moral code or ethics or scruples, and I know he had his own, his own detritus hanging off him, was Ike. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I would agree.
I would also put a word in for Gerald Ford. Other than the Nixon pardon, I think we have to give him a lot of credit for coming in at a tough time, and I think he was the right person, and I wish we had Gerald Ford, I've said this many times, now available to replace Trump rather than Mike Pence.
Oh, me too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good way to put it.
Look,
very true.
Pence is just as guilty on the collusion with Russians. He knew about it. He might not have participated directly, but he knew about it and went along with it. Because he benefited too.
And he's
there are some people who think Mike Pence might be inaugurated eventually, but will not last, that he will also be forced out by corruption. That would be unbelievable. We could have three presidents in the same term.
Wow.
Could be.
No, he's going to get nailed. And they might not be able to nail Ryan for anything. Ryan doesn't
have. He should be nailed.
Yeah.
Well, supposedly Ryan and Kevin McCarthy and others were talking about Russia at a congressional meeting of the House Republicans, and McCarthy was talking about it, and Ryan said, "Shh, don't talk." You know. So I think they knew something about the Russian collusion during the campaign as well.
Absolutely.
We're getting support.
It, Professor.
Actually, we might have to go to Orrin Hatch, the president pro tempore at the Senate. He might be the first person who might not have been involved at all.
That could
or maybe
be.
Not. Then it would be Rex Tillerson, who certainly was involved with Putin. What a mess we're in.
Rex Tillerson's a crook, just like Donald Trump's a crook.
This is like Guys and Dolls, man. I mean,
could you make a novel like this?
No, they wouldn't believe it. they said, no, this is too far fetched. This is not even real. Nobody's going to believe this shit.
Yeah. Imagine the future movie, Trump, just like the Nixon movie, you know?
Well, we have never been faced with such utter incompetence in the White House as we have right now. It is unbelievable.
We had it with George W. Bush, right?
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. Who would have ever thought, you know?
I wish George W. was back. That's how desperate I am.
Who would have ever thought?
If he came with Cheney, then I wouldn't want that. Honestly,
no, that's true. But even Cheney, at least Cheney has a brain, unlike Trump. At least he has smart.
Cheney knew
he's
how to
evil.
get things out of people in Washington. He knew how to get the job done. So I don't like Cheney
by
in the least. But he was effective.
That's about it. Where do you think the term rat fucking came from, gentlemen? Oh, my God. You know what Cheney was doing while Nixon was running? I mean, come on. It's just... And here again, we have one group of people. Now, please don't think I'm just, picking on the one side, but I am. Every nasty thing that has happened to this country in the last 30 years, including having an Alzheimer's guy in the office with his wife putting horses in his back pocket, have been Republicans.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah.
Worse.
I agree.
First,
I agree also, yes.
All for what? For money. for love of money.
Well, Gwen, let me interject here real quick. Reagan said, you know, we've got to get the problem with the country is business. Business is the problem. It's not, I mean, I'm sorry, government is the problem, not the solution. So what they did was they deregulated the savings and loans.
Yep.
What did they do? Greed crushed it, bankrupted it. The taxpayers bailed them out. Now we come up with old Goofy Bush, Alfred E. Newman Bush. All right, let's deregulate it. And, of course, it was a little nibbling along the way, all the way up. I mean, Clinton had his getting rid of Glass-Steagall under his watch. But when it got to W. Bush, then they totally moved all to the banking. And what did they do? Through greed and corruption, they devastated the whole banking economy. One of Einstein's favorite quote, my favorite quote of Einstein is, it says, idiocy is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
It's a den of thieves in action.
No, you know what the same thing over and over again is? And you guys are going to throw tomatoes at me. Men. Men.
Damn.
Oh, my gosh.
Patriarchy, and it's been going on for 6,000 years, and it's time the tables were turned. And I got a lady who just came through town to tell you, so her name was Irma. You know, guys, really, I know I've gone to the ridiculous, but I'm right. I think.
And now Maria might be the next one, another woman.
You know what? I think Hillary Clinton learned from all the mistakes made by certainly her husband. I think she'd be the first one to sit down and say, and she already has in an interview, that he made some terrible mistakes, especially with the banking community. there is nothing wrong at all with past presidents having their own trusts and going out and doing what they do, or getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to give speeches or whatever. Pay for play, on another hand, we are watching pay for play daily. In Washington.
Oh, constantly.
Oh, it's and, yes. It is at the criminal level.
It's
blatant.
Ron, is it or is it not? Just every damn day you see it in Washington right now. I mean,
actually, the New York Times back in 1973, at the height of the Watergate scandal, before we knew the whole story, had an editorial called, in question mark, A New Gilded Age, you know, like the late 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could say A New Gilded Age, exclamation mark, many, many times. And I think it's been that way since Nixon's time, with only brief break, maybe a little under Carter and maybe under Obama. But basically, it's been that way for the last almost half century. The peak as far as labor earnings was about 1973. Everything has been declining ever since.
And, you know, they've used credit to mask it, but eventually the credit didn't even mask it any longer, because people went bankrupt and they couldn't pay their credit card bills. It's pathetic, you know. It's one scheme after another to keep the ball rolling, and it's a very bad ball.
It is.
You're correct.
And you have to sit back and listen to people like Noam Chomsky and people like, our buddy Eleanor Goldfield.
And Naomi Klein. Yes.
And Naomi Klein and folks like this. I do not give Chris Hedges any leeway. He is.
Oh, I like Chris Hedges. He's not bad. He knows his stuff. Eleanor Goldfield likes Chris Hedges.
I don't care. I don't like Chris Hedges. I never have. I think
I do.
They split here, huh?
I don't say, Jack, that everything he says is wrong. I just say that he's nasty. He's got an axe to grind, and he's got a basic jealousy of the guy next to him who has something he doesn't have. That's the kind of guy I think he is. And
that's a lot of politicians now, actually.
That pretty well covers them all, doesn't it?
Yeah,
yes.
He is a politician. And the other part about him, he ain't no Dr. Brother Cornel West, I'll tell you that. Him I love, too. No, Chris Hedges coming out and equating the Black Bloc or any of the Antifa, anti-fascist movement with the white supremacists, he can take a big chunk of fight out it. Okay, you know where I was going with that. He really pulled a nasty when he did that. You know that the whole ultra left community that has always supported him is now throwing apples at him, right? You know that, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, meanwhile, we have that incident in St. Louis with the judge deciding that this particular police officer was not guilty, and it's caused a lot of uproar in St. Louis again.
A lot of riots.
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was another. And they also told U2 today, U2 and one other.
Cancel the concert.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's wrong. That's punishing a community for a couple of bad apples. And the other part about that I'd like to have said in words on this show is that is not the Black Lives Matter group that would do that. That would start breaking windows.
Right, I agree.
Oh, no, right. It's opportunity.
I agree also, yes.
Now, these were people, and the same can be said about, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong at all in going out to meet on the street and protest when people are marching for white supremacy. There is nothing wrong with being there and saying, I don't agree.
No, it's a good thing to be that way.
It absolutely. I would say that I am Antifa because it's a family band tradition. I had both parents in the service in World War II, and you guys have done your service or had family in, and that's what we were fighting against was fascism. And this president is in love with fascism.
In love with strong men all over the world.
Yeah, like the Philippines leader and the Egyptian leader and also elsewhere. And, of course, Putin, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he loves strong men. He's a weird, weird man. He's strange.
But he's not strong himself.
No,
that's
that's why he likes these big guys. They're an inspiration to him.
He's a coward and a bully, and when anybody face-to-face with him on a stage in front of microphones, he backs away.
He'll cower up. Yeah, he's a big baby. He's a big coward.
He came down to Florida, and he carried some boxes of food to put in a car, and he said, this is exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can go there, too, I suppose. But I'm wondering just how far the road is going to go with this guy. As far as, because basically there isn't anything that he doesn't seem to, as Ron was saying, you know, and I suggest everyone listening go over to the Progressive Professor blog and read Ron's article today. Something's wrong. Something's wrong there. Something's not right with it. And anybody sitting in that Oval Office must know. Can you imagine what Rex Priebus feels like right now, having freed himself on a national
and Sean Spicer also, yeah.
You know, you're the best president there ever was. Bullshit rap when it
Oh God.
And
here's that little sneaky wimpy Jared Kushner just sitting there lapping it all up, going along with it just to go for along for the ride. That guy is absolutely detestable.
Well,
I agree. And Ivanka has no influence with her father, and you know she speaks up for good causes in words, but that's all she does.
And she's worthless.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, wait a minute. She is your typical nouveau-riche social climber industrialized piece of crap.
Yeah, I like that description. Very good.
She doesn't even have decent fashion sense. And let me tell you what, I have friends in the fashion industry. She doesn't cut the mark. She just has money to produce. And where does she produce it? China. Bangladesh, American made, big American.
Wherever it's the cheapest, wherever the labor has no say, it has no rights.
That's absolutely correct. I mean, how does this go on and people don't see the forest for the trees? How is this happening?
Well, I tell you, it's very disturbing, and if it continues, we're going to be declining very rapidly if the American people don't realize what's going on and react to it.
Yeah.
Well, that's happening. That's going to be the nature of things.
Well, I urge everybody to boycott every product that Donald Trump is associated with, or Ivanka is associated with. Don't buy it.
No, no one does. Yeah. No one. They've taken great loss. They're taking a lot of losses right now, except of course in Washington D.C. at the hotel. Now that's where, so want something from this president, you go dump money there and you get an ear bit.
Well, the emoluments clause is being broken every day, and it's definitely impeachable in my mind.
Well, exactly. I'm one of the best minds going right now in the country. You're an expert on these things, Ron. I mean, if you're saying that there is an emoluments clause that is being broken here, you're saying the truth. And the truth is the goddamn Republicans in Congress and the Senate are turning a blind eye to it. Not only that, they got that idiot Nunes back in play again, trying to downplay Mueller and his investigation. I mean, it's just
exactly.
Even before he was inaugurated, he was told you cannot have this property, the hotel, and you cannot do this and that, and he just ignored it. That's the whole thing. So we knew it before he was inaugurated.
Yeah,
he can do whatever he wants, is what he thinks. And
narcissism in action.
And he's a coward. And he's a coward. Anybody
you
who what he tweeted today, it made me very angry. It really did. Because here's a guy who's admitted to being, actually expressed himself as a sexual predator. Most white women voted for him. Are you kidding me? And now he's taking golf ball swings at a better leader than, he's not a leader, a better person, a better human being than him. And he's doing it because he's afraid of what she's going to keep saying. And I hope she gets on more hour-long shows. The more she does, the more we know, the better.
Yeah.
Well, the one good thing is Mueller's investigation is moving forward, and I think by Thanksgiving we're going to have charges being made public. I think it's going to come soon. And, you know, I predicted in an article in History News Network, which also was repeated in Newsweek, that he would leave Trump between the death of Garfield, which was August 7th, 199 days, and Zachary Taylor death May 27th next year, 492 days. I now think it's going to be sooner. I would project that he'll be gone by, get this, the Ides of March 15th.
Oh, God, let's hope so.
Yeah,
well,
so that would mean 490 days.
Here,
I don't
folks.
See him lasting much longer than a few more months now.
Keep it in mind, everybody. Ides of March is when we're going to see the end of Trump. Thank God.
All you have to know is Shakespeare and Macbeth. That's how you remember it.
Yep.
I pose a question to you guys, and it's one that I've heard some really angry, especially Antifa pals of mine talking about. Someone who's a little Nazi pagan on our side of the street is going to say to hell with this and take a pot shot at the guy. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm wondering what you're thinking, because it gets worse and worse every week. And
well, I mean, the Secret Service always, there's always death threats that they always have to investigate. But I tend to think not, and I would not wish for it, because that would be bad. It would make him a martyr.
Right.
And I don't believe that's the way to go. Assassination is. I had students years ago who talked against George W. Bush and said that, and I said, no, that is not proper. You don't like him, just wish for him to be out of office or before the second term, vote against him. And a lot of them didn't vote. So, but the answer is never to use violence, never.
No, just let him choose to jump off a bridge. To hell with him.
I must say, however, he seems to have a fury and temper. He gets extremely, angry. He could die. He could suddenly drop dead of a heart attack from the stress and the way he reacts to things. He's got a furious temper, which is happening too often, and that's not good for his health.
Right.
Well, I'm
plus,
really
he eats like hell. He doesn't eat good food. He eats junk.
I'm really glad to hear you guys say that, because I wanted it said on this radio show, because it's the wrong move. And as Ron says, quite rightly, I do think it would make something of a martyr of him, especially, and it might cause violence in the country.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely also, morally, ethically wrong to even consider violence.
But and I think, Ron, you do have a point about his health, but I will add this thing. And my mother used to have a couple of things, but one was that, you know, and I'm sure your folks have said it too, only the good die young. And,
which that's always the case often,
too
yeah.
It's nasty to die. Yeah.
Never, never, ever wait for dead man's shoes because, you know, that's a problem there. But,
yeah, I want to make a comment that John McCain, you know, we might not agree with him on everything. I might not have voted for him, but he's still an American hero, a courageous guy, and he's suffering from cancer, and it looks like he doesn't have long to live. And yet Trump still doesn't have the dignity to really speak up on it. Instead, he criticizes the two Arizona senators, meaning McCain and Jeff Flake. And
yeah.
It's just so bad that that would be the case, because I think McCain is someone to admire, even with faults, but everybody has them. And I think it's disgraceful the way
you.
Trump has treated him, even a couple of years ago when he said he wasn't a hero.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
And I find this as being a Navy vet myself. When Trump got his draft notice to go and serve his country, what did he do? He ran off screaming, taking a squatting piss in the corner like a little girl, but yet he'll point to the man who was beaten every day and
tortured,
being shot down in his plane in a Vietnam cell and had to dare to call him not a hero.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That cowardly bastard shouldn't
Trump
even be in
no
office.
Clue. Trump is clueless, let's face it.
Despicable. People wonder why the state of New York did not vote for Trump. Well, I'll tell you what, there's New Yorkers know who he is, and I've always known who he is.
Exactly.
And I will say this again. You got it. You know, an apple don't fall far from the tree. And his grandfather was a press ganger who run whorehouses out in San Francisco. His father took all of his goods and his money from the government, putting up housing where he discriminated and was an actual Klan member. If you don't think this president is not a white supremacist, you got another thing coming. And, you know, ordering your wives from a Russian mail order catalog book is...
Oh, gosh.
God.
We're talking about that. His father and grandfather and also his mother are immigrants. His first and third wives are immigrants, and yet he's a nativist to the extreme. It's disgraceful.
It's insane. Well, like everything he does, it makes no sense.
And well,
you're right.
The man doesn't make any sense, and people who have been hired to help him write his stories come on television regularly and tell people, this guy's a phony. And not only phony, but he's a twisted phony.
He's wacko.
Problems, you know?
Yeah, I see now that the person who helped Trump write the Art of the Deal, who's turned against him, says that he thinks Trump would even turn on his own children to save himself. I don't know if I agree with that, but that's what that man is saying now. I saw it.
Well,
I have no doubt
on that.
You know
he
what?
Is so narcissistic, he would eat his children to keep a good impression.
I'm going to tell you. Maybe if his daughter was in the line of fire, but I gotta say to you, you don't think he would hide and watch? Just hide and watch. He's about ready to throw his son to the wolves. I gotta feel.
Well, his son-in-law anyway, definitely his son-in-law.
I don't think he will throw him to the wolves as quick as he will his own son. His own son's stupid. His son-in-law.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Well, that gene pool's pretty shallow no matter where you look in that group.
I don't
have any opinions, Gwen, do you?
Come on, Jen. Tell us how you really feel.
Listen.
Oh, that was fun.
I suppose I do get my mouth going from time to time.
But that's why we love you, hon. That's why we love you.
We always have a good time, the four of us.
Absolutely. I'm going to say, for the listening audience out there, I've known Professor Ron for like 8 years, isn't it, Professor? And he was an
outstanding guy. 8 or 9 years, since I started the blog,
maybe going on 9. I have thoroughly enjoyed his writings and his blog. He and I have communicated back many times. Someday we are going to meet in person.
We need to, yes.
He's an outstanding man.
I should at some point,
all
you know.
All four of us will have a great party someday. We'll all be in the same locale. We'll party together like people have never partied before.
Like it's 1999.
There you go. And we'll still be looking forward.
That's right.
You know what's scary? That in the future when we meet and Trump is not president, say, I'm just saying 5 or 10 years, will it be possible that we will look back and say whoever's president when we meet, oh, my God, he's worse than Trump, yeah, or she's worse than Trump? Can you imagine that?
I don't think we'll ever reach that point.
But, I mean, now I say Trump's worse than Bush. Trump's worse than Nixon. So who knows?
Oh, my God.
I was going to say.
We're at the top of the hour, and I just got one question from Ron. It's my thought that what the Democrats, besides their lack of organizational skill at this point, which is really frustrating, and their lack of message, we need a firebrand.
Yes, we do.
And I think it needs to be a woman, myself. But we need a firebrand. I'm not seeing any. God knows Warren is, but Goddess knows Warren is. But she's not. I don't think she wants the office, to tell you.
No, she doesn't.
To be honest, I don't think she could be elected. I think she would antagonize enough men, even more than Hillary, that I think she'd have a problem winning, unfortunately, because I like her. But
I
don't think she could win, no.
Whoa.
There's got to be fresh blood, folks. Fresh blood.
Fresh blood, yes.
We always forget that Hillary Rodham Clinton won the popular vote.
I know. Look, I know that. I know that. But the whole issue of the Electoral College is still with us, and I'm not sure that white working class men would vote for her. That's the thing. They need a woman
problem.
Who doesn't seem as threatening and menacing as I think Elizabeth Warren looks to many people.
Uh-huh.
I like her again. You know, I would vote for her, but I'm not sure she could win. But I think Kamala Harris of California is someone to look at, or Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, or Kirsten Gillibrand of New York. At least a few of those people, I think, are possibilities. But I also think there are a lot of men that should be considered as well. I think we need a fresh start, someone who has not run for president at all. So I don't think it should be Sanders or even Joe Biden, who I love.
No, they're too old.
On, and that's Hillary. I do think we need
maybe
new people.
The young Kennedy lad.
We need someone young.
No, wait a minute. What would you think about a lady who stood up on a platform and told the truth and brought people together, and her name was Kennedy? What would you think?
Which one?
Ooh, I like it. No,
there's only one Kennedy who has
Corey?
Already. There's only
Ambassador to Japan.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think Caroline Kennedy has the personality to run. I think she's a little too shy. I don't think she would. I don't think she'd even be interested. She had a chance to be a senator and, you know, to be appointed. Instead, Kirsten Gillibrand was. I'm not sure she has the political charisma to be able to be running.
Right.
To be honest.
You're really going to have the fire in your belly.
I would not bet on it. She's not a firebrand. I know that. But I wouldn't bet on it. I would bet on her. I really would. I don't think she's going to, but I think she should be.
I wouldn't bet on Carolyn Kennedy, no.
Joe Kennedy III, the congressman whose grandfather was Robert Kennedy, he's good, but he's very young. He's only in his 30s. So he's a little too – he's also a congressman. We've never elected a congressman directly except James Garfield. Look what happened. He got assassinated in a few months. So I don't think Joe Kennedy would be ready for 2020, maybe later, Joseph Kennedy III.
Let's give number three is a good kid. Let's give a remembrance here to the fact that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was the youngest president ever elected. Let's remember that.
That's correct.
That's true.
He was 43.
But he'd been through
a
war. He'd been very he's very mature for his years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree.
Plus, he stood nose with Khrushchev in the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that took a lot of maturity and steel nerves.
Yeah.
To
can you imagine Trump with Khrushchev in 1962?
Gentlemen, we're at the very edge of the show, and I would like to give Ron the ability to tell people where to find his latest book and where to find
there
him online.
Go.
Okay, I'm at theprogressiveprofessor.com. I'm on Facebook under my name and under The Progressive Professor, and also Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency. I'm on Twitter at PolitHist, PolitHist, and my paperback edition now available since March is Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama, and it's very reasonably priced, and it's a good read. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good to have you again.
Oh, it was great being on. And we could come back sometime to talk about potential candidates for 2020 on both sides.
Yes.
And he started the idea of who both sides could run. I think John Kasich, for instance, will run for the Republican nomination. I think he definitely will be one of the people running.
Being from Ohio here, he's talking about starting his own political party along with a, help me out, professor, of Democrat out west.
Governor of Colorado.
There you go. Right.
Democrat,
yes. We need some normalcy is what he's saying. You know, we need some.
Okay.
Go ahead. Have a good one. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson blog, and please go see Jack Jodell over at Saturday Afternoon Post. This has the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I thank you for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Very good, folks. Good night.
Thank you so much for inviting me again.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming, Ron. Appreciate
it. Keep pushing forward, everybody.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Gwen.
Bye, everybody.